Moving on now, Japan, China, and South Korea have warned of rising protectionism and its subsequent risks amid attempts by U.S. President Donald Trump to impose tariffs on foreign imports. Finance ministers of the three countries raised the issue on the sidelines of an Asian meeting. They said a geopolitical uncertainty is a source of a risk to global economy, pledging to ensure open and rule-based multilateralism. Meanwhile, over 1,100 U.S. economists have signed an open letter to Trump and Congress criticizing what they call the president's protectionist policies. They have warned that such policies could damage the country's economy.
We are convinced that increased protective duties would be a mistake. They would operate in general to increase the prices which domestic consumers would have to pay. A higher level of protection would raise the cost of living and injure the great majority of our citizens.
Economic advisors to two Republicans, two Democratic presidents, and 15 Nobel laureates are among the signatories. They criticize Trump for threatening to withdraw from trade agreements and imposing or threatening to impose tariffs in response to trade imbalances. The economists stress that such policies could affect the U.S. economy as they did during the Great Depression in the 1930s. Washington has recently levied tariffs on foreign imports, including a great number of Chinese products. The measures have increased the risk of an all-out trade war, even with America's allies. Now we are joined by Einar Tangen, author and columnist. Thank you very much, Mr. Tangen. I'm not sure if I pronounced your name correctly. If I haven't, I apologize. But can you shed more light on the situation there? How can these three countries in any way create some kind of leverage in order to make President Donald Trump back off from his protectionist policies, and will Donald Trump actually listen to the economists who have written a letter to him? He doesn't seem to be listening to anyone.
Well, yes, Donald Trump is very certain about his own abilities and his own instincts. He reacts on a very day-to-day basis. His views are what we call mercantilistic. Everyone thought that these kinds of ideas were dead. After the Great Depression proved them to be wrong, but there is now a resurgence. In terms of what these three major Asian economies can accomplish, where they lead, I imagine that ASEAN will follow. And what you see here is the development of regional political and economic realism. And by that, I mean they are concerned about, obviously, about security and things like that, and they're going to balance those with a realistic process of trade. All of these economies have that in common. They cannot exist without it. Shinzo Abe, I think, has learned the hard way after going to Washington, D.C., hat in hand, trying to get some sort of deal with Donald Trump to drop the tariffs against his economy for steel and aluminum, and being outright rejected and then subsequently humiliated. So under those circumstances, I don't think that there would be any impediment to this. Now, a lot of people in the press were saying, oh, this is a meeting about North Korea. But all three have said, no, this is going to be about economic cooperation. Nothing is off the table. Obviously, there might be some issues touched on regarding the DPRK. But this is really a response to U.S. protectionist policies, where they know that if they do not work together, they will hang alone.
Mr. Tangen, considering the letter that has been written to Donald Trump by these economists and Nobel laureates, do you think that he will be listening to any of these advices that he's received?
Oh, not at all. I wouldn't be surprised if he calls them some names and says it's fake news or something like this. He doesn't care. Actually, to his base, they love this. Any kind of intellectual addition, comment, is seen as somehow elitist, and therefore he's free to reject it. But that base is growing smaller and smaller. Even today, people from Fox News, who have always supported him, are now calling him out for the inconsistencies. I think the rest of the world is looking at this. I don't think there's many people you can find who don't agree that this kind of protectionism is dangerous to all. But right now you have a government that is run by an individual who is supported by people like Navarro, who claims to be a China expert, but is making his first trip to China as we speak. So it's very, very difficult times. Really the only check I can see coming on this is the 2018 elections. But even then, you're not gonna necessarily see an end to this. Unfortunately, the Democrats will, as they have currently, support very strong measures against China, not realizing that these measures will actually hurt many other countries that are unintended consequences.
And one quick note, Mr. Tangen, how do you think this will affect the U.S. economy? What will President Donald Trump will be leaving for the next president eventually, considering that he will keep on with his protectionist policies?
Well, it'll be economic shambles. You can imagine that the U.S. economy will go down by at least one percentage point, given that it's only at three or a little bit better than two. That could have serious consequences for not only the U.S. recovery, but the global recovery. He's going to leave a world where it's already multipolar, but he's reducing the influence and ability of the U.S. To do what it has done in the past, which is provide some sort of leadership on economic issues. It's giving way to a whole new pattern, a whole new process. You have entities that are springing up to fill the vacuum, the AIIB, Belt and Road Initiative. These are the things that will be going forward. And as I said, it's be more initially, it'll be regionally with these groups coming together to protect themselves. But I would expect, as Donald Trump eviscerates the WTO, that there will be other ways that they can do with this, either countries joining things like TPP, if China comes to an agreement, even if it doesn't join, if it comes to agreement, if India decides, even if it's not going to join the Belt and Road Initiative, that it will allow Chinese to access rail corridor through its lands. These are effective, in effect, ways in which they're coming together in spite of the U.S.
Thank you very much, Mr. Einar Tangen, author and columnist, joining us to give us an insight on the economic policies of Donald Trump.